my god, it's Bubble Bucket Hot Chapter 1. You come to your senses after resting for quite a long time. You do not remember coming to where you are currently, with the empty bottles of liquor in your hand, and the empty bottles surrounding you gives you a hint as to why you do not. You have a headache pretty bad, and the last thing you remember is that you were in a bar in the capital city of Mustard Island, Biura Biura, village of the nation Rainbow Islands. Rainbow Islands is a series of islands, the largest of which, the Seven, are considered the mainlands of the nation. The main population on these islands are of a race called Bubble Touched, which you happen to be. The Bubble Touched are very human, but have traces of dragons in them, displayed in minor physical features such as your tail. So, first coming to first, being that you do not have amnesia, your name is Asali Zakiya, a psychic Bubble-touched. You're a wandering nomad looking for a good time, or at least you were having a good time. As of right now, you're pretty lost. But you have your natural ability, which was...
There are six choices of races in which you could be. Red, you can generate fire-filled bubbles. Purple, you can tame animals. Green, you can make status-altering candy. Orange, you can teleport slash warp, usually short, distances. Blue, you can generate water-filled bubbles. Yellow, you can generate electricity-filled bubbles. This also determines the color of your scales.
Fair votes for orange when I went back to work. Former Sherbert clan left and joined the Zakiya. Right now, your headache and the hangover is preventing you from zipping through space right now, unfortunately. Awesome. Well, at least you can use that ability to your advantage as you figure out how to get back to your hotel and get your stuff.
Damn, does your head hurt bad?
It's either the alcohol, or your mind, or both. Headaches are pretty common with psychics. What was your psionic ability, exactly?
Precognition / clairvoyance with 3 volts at the time I started.
There you go. Although you're fairly young, you're not very good at either of your abilities, so you need to be careful with using them, once your head clears at least. You think to yourself, well, it's time to do something about this. Because the liquor's gone.
Well, you drink the last of it.
Yeah, that is your bag. So you pick it up. Since your right arm is unusable and in a sling, which you don't remember why it's in a sling but it hurts to move, so it's possible you broke your arm when you were, or before, you started drinking. Having the pack allows you to have up to 4 items on hand. Even accessible in very dangerous situations if needed. You step aside after sliding the pack up and over your left shoulder and pick the map out of the bottle. Key item acquired. Map. You open up the scroll. The orange marker is your current location. Well, apparently you're on Wormwood Island, which you've never even heard of before. You put the map away for now. It doesn't help you too much yet.
Why are you see-through?
You're drunk. Maybe that's why.
Well, it certainly wouldn't hurt to take a peek outside. Before you do, check those drawers on the left to maybe find something usable as a weapon. After all, you don't know this place. People might be hostile. If you don't find such a thing, there are enough bottles on the floor for that matter, Boozehead.
Search the drawers for anything useful. After that, open that door and see where it goes.
You step across the room and take the liquor bottle to use as a weapon if worst comes to worst, and proceed to pull all the drawers open. They all seem empty at first, but then you see 4, only one golden seal. You're not so sure what that is. But you put it inside of your pouch if you need it.
Take the seal between both of your hands and close your eyes. Try to concentrate on it. See if you can feel what it's needed for, what it's linked to, or who might have put it there.
Sorry, Precog.
Who knows? Maybe you can do that stuff with your still not that sober head, Colin 3.
Yeah, unfortunately, the headache still prevents you from doing so.
Open a window or turn on that desk lamp or something. I've never seen anything up on a wall that radiates blackness. You turn on the lamp, but you don't entirely enjoy the experience.
Well, let's go explore! Let's get out of this sad room and go explore!
Well, it certainly wouldn't hurt to take a peek outside. Before you do, check those drawers on the left to maybe find something usable as a weapon. After all, you don't know this place. As well as some other suggestions that will shame
you. You step over to look outside and check the door and shake off your daze. You don't, at the moment, need to vomit, but your vision is a little off, as you've experienced. Along the way, you squeeze your breasts to ensure that you didn't lose them while you were drunk. You didn't. You feel better. You take the doorknob and try to open it. The door isn't opening. It seems to be locked. This isn't good.
Let your eyes adjust to the light and scan the room more carefully.
Just step away from the door, stay in the light, and examine your surroundings. Where are those eyes?
You look away from the door and notice the mess. Your body shakes heavily and it isn't fear. Something like pain. It isn't your period, at least, so you take some solace in that fact. You certainly wouldn't put on a miniskirt with feminine hygiene products hidden below. You take note of the message on the wall near the bed and adjust your eyes. The strange blackness in the dark is missing. Maybe you're sobering up.
Also, check and see how that crust matches up with those holes in the wall by the corner.
You step over to the other side of the room, climbing into the bed to make sure you stay in the light and place the golden seal on the wall. The wall begins to crank, crack, and slide. You keep your hand away. It slides back slowly, and after it hits the back, an old watch on two points are sitting there. You take all of it. Points are the monetary units in this world. If you earn enough of them, it may be possible to purchase something later. You're not broken now. That almost offsets being in this room.
Check what time it is on the old watch.
The watch is dead. It's stuck at around 5,500,000. It's your left...
Is your arm broken or something?
From what you can feel, it is broken. It feels incredibly bad when you move it.
Hey, did you check the ceiling? It's leaking. What hurt it?
You check the ceiling. Your eyes dilate at the shock of something piercing straight through your chest. Your blood loss and the time is sobered you enough to use your abilities. Good news! But now there's this creature and this spike through your toe, so it's most definitely a problem to consider. You panic, and you don't think you can handle this monster, so you use your warp powers, leaving a cloudy shadow of an orange umbrella in your place.
You appear perfectly on your feet outside the door on the porch.
You feel drained. You'd have to wait a while before your warp ability is available once more. There don't seem to be monsters here. There's a toilet and a chained-up trap door on the porch. But you can see out into the distance, and there's a mine up against the mountain to the west, and a small building to the northwest. The grass and paths along the small island are pretty boring and empty. To the north and south is the ocean. Oh, dear gods, you shiver violently and look away from the water. You are definitely afraid of it and wouldn't dare going to the sea. There must be a way without it anyway. Science of magic have progressed after all. You take a small step to the toilet, kneel down and cringe. You have mixed feelings. The negative is that the water inside the toilet still has the slight hints of piss in it. The positive is that the 2 points are still sitting there. So you take them and do your best to keep from vomiting and succeed. Think that there might be something, someone to help you with your injury. You travel towards the lonely shack in the northwest. You arrive at the building. It doesn't seem as welcoming as you hoped. It seems to be a store with a discount on the building. However, you stop before the porch as eyes are staring at you from beneath. You use your clairvoyance. Awesome! Someone's in there after all. The place itself is ominous. Well, that vision just encouraged what you were starting to think. You turn tail and slowly trudge south down the island. The silence is very daunting to you as you like to be with company and the preaching. The ground was dead and everything was empty. You arrive at the mine. The mine is not much different than it was out in the field. There's nothing and nobody here. You see a pile of rubble, the entrance to the mine, a watering hole, and what seems to be a trailer. You shrug with your only working arm to emphasize how frustrating this is. You walk around the dying flower and look at the water. You poke your finger in it. It looks crystal clear and beautiful. Thankfully, it isn't deep and it isn't open water, so approaching it is much easier. You're not thirsty, however. Your wound seems to have just stopped bleeding. It's still open. It feels like your right arm does. You move away from the water and start digging in the rubble. Soon after you begin, you feel a very definite vibration underneath it all. You dig for just a moment before an orange piece of cloth sets across the rock underneath the ones you just lifted up. You pick up the orange cloth. What's up with that? To be continued, yo! As you lift the cloth from underneath the rubble, you drag a uniformed skeleton miner out from underneath. The vibrations continue and you keep pulling, just to get it all the way out. Your insides tremble. Some of it is in sight of the skeleton, the rest of it is in the realization this might be a human. There's a war going on elsewhere in the world. Humans are being murdered relentlessly by robots. There could be robots nearby. Keeping alert is a good bet. Being that a lot of robots despise not just humans, but all organic creatures. Your mind crashes back to the skeleton in your arms. There's a vibro hammer attached to his belt. You take that and push the skeleton as far as you can. It's not very far, but you can finally scream about it. The skeleton and a few things you've been encountering.
It's a defense mechanism to try and keep your calm. And I must ignore your desire to panic in order to survive.
You release everything in your lungs and then fall silent. The echo of your voice returns to you.
With that out of the way, you look back around you. You place the barrel in your pouch and put your new hammer in its place if you need it. Then you examine the skeleton more thoroughly. He has a wallet in his pocket. You swipe the 4 points he was carrying for your own and take the empty wallet along with you. You say out loud,
"Now what, Asali? Now what?" You walk over towards the small barrel-looking thing of water and fill your bottle with it. You sprinkle some of the water down on the flower. In chill moments, the flower begins to rise up off the ground and glow a neon shade of blue. The flower blossoms open. You smile and admire the flower for
some. Yo, 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 what is this shit, dog? Wait, huh? Man, this is not the party anymore. Well, at least I'm less dead. More chance of a party coming back, right? Righteous!
The flower wiggles around in a very subtle manner.
Oh, right, yeah. So there's a couple of them points burning over there.
The flower points towards the door, and you dig it up and add the 2 points to your money pool. You continue to watch this flower. What door were you meaning to take? The mine or the trailer? We'll go towards the mine. There's a lock on the door. It is a 3-number combination lock. You're not going to try and guess a 1 out of 1,000 chance. Well, maybe. Hopefully there's a clue somewhere, or you'll spend forever on this. You step across the ground and go up the steps in tow. Upon first glance, seems to have been the foreman's office. Ghost? Chair? You don't see any of those, so you check out the cabinet. You shook the cabinets, they're empty. You try to move the cabinet, but with one arm it's really awkward, and you're way too weak to move it. You peek around at the cabinet and try to pinch at the tiny corner paper clamp between the metal cabinet and the wall. It won't give way, but you damage the paper and make it even harder to take hold of. You give up and go through the desk and find a fork and a knife in one of the drawers. It smells a little funky, but that doesn't bother you. You take a look at your knife, the wall, and the heavenly cabinet, and you scowl at the wall with defiance. However, before you do that, you shift all the cabinet doors open. Then you use all your might and cunning to tip it over. As you tip the cabinet over, you turn and face a translucent ghost. Your flesh lapping slightly as the ghost gleams in your flesh. The ghost looks down at the floor and twiddles his pseudo-hands together.
Do you by chance have the time?
He blushes softly. He was shy and seems to be pretty afraid of you. You show the ghost the watch you found and tell him, "The closest thing I can tell you is 5. But the watch is broken. I'm sorry, little ghost." The ghost simply gazes with adoration for the watch for what seems like forever to the ghost. His eyes wide and sparkling, his mouth open, but in the most minuscule way. He very gently and with a high-pitched voice pipes in, "That's my watch." His voice is but a whisper. "Please?" His little ethereal lip quivering up towards you. You decide to give him the watch. The ghost holds the watch to his face, his tentacle-like arms shaking.
"That ain't half much."
The ghost plops down onto the desk and hands you a single point.
"Ghost can't remember too much. This was mine before I died. My name is Bob. Same as the combination to the mine if you need that. Since I have so little money, I'll just sit here and try to remember more."
You leave the ghost to his moping just long enough to take the envelope off of the wall. Inside of the taped up envelope is 2 points. You step back and set your hand on the desk. "Bob, do you remember anything else? I'll try to help you if I can." Bob turns his head, having assumed you left for a little bit. He sounds a little less anxious now.
"Well, I was doing all the mining by myself, but no one came into work. And this dark shadowy figure came up and smashed my skull in. That's all I can remember beyond being pushed into a pit, and I can't remember if I had a family or anything else."
You smile and pat the desk. "Come on, Bob. Come with me to the mine. Maybe we'll figure out something." Bob looks at the floor.
As long as you stay with me."
You both step out of the office.
"Slight pause. We'll be back in 20 to 40 minutes.